Bless you, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I take this opportunity to welcome you to our Sunday morning service, believing that 2021 will be a year of added jubilation, good health, success, and prosperity. And this morning, our dear the Roy Motherway will come forward and read the scripture for us.
Scripture reading is found in Psalm 145 from verse 1 to 10. I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great workness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word.
Thank you, Brother Roy. We appreciate the scripture reading this morning. And this morning, it's a privilege to have our dear Israel Rigby will come forward and open the service with a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace upon our lives. We thank you for watching over your bride. We pray for your protection over the bride. We thank you for the apostolic ministry. Lord, we pray for your pastors, teachers, and elders that they'll preach according to the needs of the people. Thank you for your apostle to unfold the seven seals to us. We pray for our pastor. Thank you for giving us a good and faithful servant. May you continue to bless him with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for the new year to come. We pray for your elected people. May you fulfill the needs of your people and bless them abundantly. We pray for the service. May your servant preach to the hearts of your people. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Israel, for the prayer this morning. Men, brothers and sisters, as we prepare ourselves into the Word of God this morning, we are grateful to have our dear the Hind and his team will bless us with a song item, which is titled, The Lord is My Shepherd. And then after, we'll hand over to Pastor Louis, who will minister the Word of God.
Yeah. God bless you, brothers and sisters. It's good to be back again in 2021. The Lord has been very gracious to you and I and to each one of us. Despite all the challenges that we are going through, God has been faithful to His word. Amen. And we pray that even through all the difficulties that we go through, the challenges that we go through, that we'll continuously believe God, that God is faithful. Remember, He will not give you more than you can handle. And even as we would approach 2021, let us believe that we are a year closer to the catching away of the bride of Jesus Christ. And with what we're seeing around us, where the world is in chaos, and a new government has been placed in America, we find the Pope is working very, very hard to control the world, using America as a throne. And it is telling us that we are living in the Bible prophecies. And we can go down as in history, saying that we have been through a pandemic and we have seen the second Catholic Church president that is coming into his office in the United States of America. And all this is telling you and I, brothers and sisters, that this is a glorious moment despite the difficulties and the challenges that you go through, that God's word is yea and amen. Amen. And we need to understand that even as we go to 2021, we have a lot of work to do, and we're praying that we'll stay focused with the message of the hour, despite the interruptions of the pandemic. Remember that you need to keep yourself safe, practice social distancing and sanitizing and avoid people visiting your homes unnecessarily, because this is how the pandemic is spreading. Because you find that our people go out to work, they come back home, they bring their friends, they go out to restaurants, and they come in and the elderly gets affected there. So you need to understand that this virus has got a certain intelligence now, and it is not attacking not only the older people, but the younger people as well. So we need to be mindful of this, and I pray the Lord will bless you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your support in the ministry. Thank you for the government of our church that has stood by the post of duty despite all that has happened in 2020. A very special thank you to the IT team who's worked so hard, especially Brother Norman and Brother Sudhir, who's helped us to ensure that the services are going. God bless you, brethren, and undertake for you in a special way. And thank you also for helping in the ministry, Brother Norman. We've had good reports about the services that you have taken. May God bless you and your family. Now, brothers and sisters, we're still working on the journey of life. We're still on this journey. We want to learn more about this. We want to look at the deity of Jesus Christ, or Theotis. We want to look at how it's applied in the Word of God. And we want to look at who is this one in the book of Revelation. So many times when you read the church age book, you have the perception that it's the Son of God. Let's take our scripture reading this morning from the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. May God bless the reading of His precious word, bless our hearts, and bless our ears, and give grace to His servant. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you once again for this moment. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all that you do for the bride of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you could give us the guidance and the wisdom and the leadership in 2021. When we look back, despite everything that we went through, your faithfulness has been upon us. Thank you, O God, for 2021. We pray that you'd open doors to your children, doors of spiritual growth, doors of prosperity, doors of good health, doors of great wisdom and knowledge, and close those doors of Satan, Father. And we pray for your hands upon your children. Thank you for the faithfulness of those that have supported the work in the tithes and offerings. May you bless their hands and prosper their ways. Undertake for each one of us, we remember the bride of Jesus Christ. We also thank you for the faithfulness of our dear Pastor Tony, the Apostle. Thank you for the commitment and his family. We ask that you just bless him, give him grace and strength. You bless us, Lord, as we continue now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like, look, the Bible says, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the paps, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So the question we need to ask ourselves, who is he talking about? This is the deity of Jesus Christ. That is the Almighty God representing himself in all the qualities he had shown in his Son. And this is all the qualities of the great Jehovah God that he had whilst he was in the pillar of fire. As we've learned, is that all the qualities of God was placed in the blood cell, in the womb of Mary. So at Jordan, the being of God came into the body. But even though the being was not in the body before Jordan, it did not make the body less the qualities of God. It did not mean that the qualities that was in the body was less. No, because the DNA was in the, of God was in the blood. The mind of God was in that body. You find the thinking, the qualities, the characteristics, the traits was in that body. So we need to look at, as we're reading in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. Now, when you're reading the church age book, as I said to you before, the church age book is written with the principle that the reader is a teacher. So, with that in mind, you'll find that Brother Branham, when he wrote the book, the church age book, he wrote them with certain laws and certain concepts. So to understand those concepts and understand those laws, one has to go to more than one step to understand those. That is why you'd find when people read the church age book, they read the church book, they read from an angle that it is the Son of God. And here the Bible is saying that his head and his hair was white as wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes was as flame of fire. Now, if you read the church's book from a perspective that it's the Son of God, you would find that you would have a concept that everything was all about the Son. It is true that before the seals was opened, that God allowed the Son of God to be believed to be God, because the veil of God was not yet taken out. Now, remember this. Paul knew that there was a Father. Paul knew that there was a Son. That is why he says, I bow my knees to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul does not speak about the DNA of God. Paul does not explain about the deity of Jesus Christ. Yet Paul uses the word Godhead, and we know that the word Godhead appears three times in the Bible. And the three times, it has different applications. One, it is where the qualities of God is in the body of the Son. Then the qualities and the characteristics is seen in creation. And the other one is about God himself, which is the being. You mix up those things, you're going to get a different picture. And that is why Brother Branham says, if you have the wrong picture, you're going to have the cow eating grass on the treetop. Because you know that the cow eats grass on the ground. He does not eat on the tree top unless the tree is very short. Okay? Now, so this is not the Son. This is the Almighty God, the great judge. He is the one that is coming to judge the world. Now, remember, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and the woman failed God, the Bible says they heard the voice of God walking to the Garden of Eden. Now, if you read the book of Revelation, John says, I heard one walking through the church ages, or I've seen one walking through the seven golden candlesticks, and I turned to see the voice. Now, how can you see the voice? But what John was saying, I turned to understand what the voice was saying. So this is not about the Son of God, but this is about the judge, because there is only but one judge, and that is the Father. This is the Almighty God. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So when you are looking at this verse here today, you need to understand that what is John comparing this? What is he comparing all this to? He's comparing that he's comparing this to the body of the Son of God. When he was walking on the earth, on the road to Galilee, right? And so you'd find that is what John was doing. He's comparing that to the days of Son of Man Alpha. The eyes that once cried are now eyes that are flame of fire. So you can look at it and start focusing on the Lamb and say, well, that's the Son of God. That when you start doing that, you're going to get a different perspective. Because remember that Jesus himself said that the judgment comes from the Father. He can do nothing unless the Father shows him. So who is the great judge? Not the Son of God. The Son of God is our advocate. That's what the Bible says. We have a great advocate. We have an intercessor. Now, why do you need an advocate? Because there's a judge. When you go to court, you have a judge, you have an advocate, and you have the person that is guilty. The advocate speaks on your behalf. So the Son of God will speak on our behalf. But how does he speak? It is the blood. It is the blood. Okay? Now, so let's go on. So he's talking this way, but he's talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ is not about the Son. The deity of Jesus Christ is about the Almighty God. He's talking about the qualities of the body that God expressed for redemption. Now remember that the qualities that was in the body was specifically designed so that the work of God can be done. Amen. The work of God can be done. And so you'd find that when we read Jehovah crying in a manger, Jehovah on a manure pile, Jehovah playing in the street. So why can't this be the eyes of Jehovah? Why can't this be the eyes of Jehovah that is as the flame of fire? You see, because teachers have come in and perverted the scripture. Unconverted men are trying to handle the word of God and have confused the minds of the people. That is what Paul says. He says he's worried that Satan will seduce the mind. So how does Satan seduce the mind of people? By allowing men that are unconverted behind the pulpit to handle the fires of God. And that is why you'd find the Bible says that they cannot get into the depths of God's word. All they do is that they transgress the doctrine of Christ. You'll notice that when you talk to people about this gospel, they want to go back to that gospel, the gospel of Paul. The gospel of Paul was about Calvary. Though Paul was saved under the Son of Man Alpha ministry, Paul did not have first pull, second pull, third pull. Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. The resurrected power was evident in the days of Son of Man Omega, where we find the power of God evident and seen in the days of Brother Branham. And when you're looking at the scriptures, you need to understand that Paul was not commissioned to explain all this. But what happens is that because many cannot get into the depths of God's word, they would rather go back. They go back to things that they are comfortable with. And what does it do? It does not allow the congregation to understand the depths of God's word. But the bride of Jesus Christ, she would want fresh food. She would want fresh manna. And that is what we are here for. Despite the church being locked down and so forth, we still want to keep ourselves busy in the fires of God. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Now, who keeps the stars? The Bible says that he calls the stars by their name. This is not the Son of God. This is Jehovah God. He numbers the stars. Now, stars speaks of messengers. So we had seven church age messengers. They were not in the hands of the Son of God. They were in the hands of Jehovah God. Now you might say to me, but God does not have a hand. Now remember that the book of Revelation is written with symbols. And once you understand that, you need a prophet to come and interpret these symbols for us. So it was the prophecy, the right hand speaks of authority, the seven stars is speaking of the seven messengers. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. So who was that? That's the deity of Jesus Christ. All the biological qualities of God that was in the body came together in a full revelation of the masterpiece. It is just not, it was not about God just having the qualities to redeem us at the cross in the body of his son. But God was coming back in the qualities of a judge. Amen. God was coming back in the qualities of the judge. He was not only focusing on Calvary, but now he's coming with having all the qualities of a judge. And that is why you'd find that when you look at the cloud picture, you see a picture of a judge. So when you're looking at the cloud picture, Malachi 4, he introduces the headship. He says the bridegroom is here. And when you find Luke 17:30 comes along, he says that's the judge that is appearing. But this is God who once expressed himself with all his qualities in the body that the Son lives in. And now he wants to express himself as a judge. So this great God is coming down in the ministry that's been repeated one more time, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the Omega Son of Man. Amen? And the Omega Son of Man. So what is the deity of Jesus Christ? All the qualities that was in the pillar of fire and all the qualities that was in the biological body of his son, all of them are coming together to represent the work of God himself. So the church age messengers, who did they speak about? They spoke about Jesus and the work at Calvary. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there can be no gospel. So they spoke about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whose body was that? Who died? God died by that body going to the cross. A spirit cannot die, but God died by representation. Amen? One of the days we'll look at the subject, the death of God in the body, when we're looking at the Son of God. And let's go on. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Now, who's the first? When we spoke about dimensions, we said there was no one before him. So this is not about the Son of God, because if the Son of God was first, then where was God? Where was Elohim? Because Brother Brian says in the Melchizedek message, he says he was alone with his thinking. And you'd find the church ages or the churches are preaching that Jesus Christ. No, brothers and sisters, if you read your Bibles very carefully, when you read your messages very carefully, the Bible specifically speaks of a father and a son. The father has his own body, theophany. The son has his own theophany at the very beginning. But you'll never hear about the Son of God in the Old Testament. The Son of God the Son of God was a witness to the Father's work. You don't see the Son doing anything. But the prophet comes and tells us what was taking place before the first atom split. So when the Bible says, "Fear not, I am the first," this is Jehovah God. This is the Almighty God who was alone in the eighth dimension, where there was no atom, there was no matter, there was no space, there was no time. This is Jehovah God. And in the end, he is going to be the last. So the Alpha ministry and the Omega ministry is not about Jesus, the Son of God. The Alpha ministry and the Omega ministry is about Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. We spoke about, we have a visible Jesus and we have an invisible Jesus. Now, this is where many of the message people have accused our assembly of believing in true God. You see, but I want to ask, who wrote Psalms 110? My Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. There it speaks of true Lord. If you do not understand Psalms 110, look at it very carefully. There is one cap letter L, and there's a small letter L. So there is Jehovah or Elohim and his son, which is called Adonai. And you might say, but give me another type. You remember Joseph and Pharaoh? Pharaoh said to Joseph, he says, Joseph, whatever you say, the people will listen. And everybody will bow at your feet when they know that Joseph is coming. But Pharaoh made it quite clear. He says, Joseph, only in throne will I be greater than you. So Joseph did everything, just like the Son of God. In the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you hear Paul speak about it. They only talk about Jesus Christ. They only talk about Jesus Christ. But you might say, but why? Because the seals was not yet open. You see, this mystery, the mystery of God, is only for the bride. That is why it's not for everybody. And so when we speak about the visible Jesus and the invisible Jesus, people think it is true God. It is the invisible Jesus, which is the Father, and the visible Jesus, which is his Son. Now let me take you to something else. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? So you have a Jesus on the cross, and he's calling to a God. Let's take another scripture. When the woman came to touch Jesus after he rose from the dead, he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. So right there, we know that Jesus had a Father. And he goes on to say, my God and your God. Right there, you see that Jesus had a God. And this is where you'd find the message community, because of unqualified men getting behind the pulpit, they want to fight this revelation and propagate a lie. So they lie about the fact that we believe in two Jesuses. We believe there is a visible Jesus, which is the Son of God, and there's an invisible Jesus, which is the Almighty God. Brother Brian says, he says, we worship an invisible God. And then he goes on to say, he says, when Paul met this invisible Jesus, he took out a investment. Why, brothers and sisters? Because the first and the last is none other than God himself. In Revelation chapter 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So who brought the keys of death? Who brought the keys of hell? Who can take you out of the grave? Who brought Jesus out of the grave? You might say, but Jesus raised himself. Because they quote the scripture when Jesus said, destroy the temple in 3 days and I will raise it up. And Jesus says, I lay down my life. But read the scripture carefully. It says, as my Father had commanded me so. Peter comes along and says, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God. So there's a God Peter speaks of. Paul speaks about this same Jesus God raised from the dead. So who raised Jesus from the dead? It was God himself. Who rose him up and set him on the right hand? It was God himself, the Father. So I want to ask you, who is the resurrection and the life? When the Bible says, I am the resurrection and the life, that was not the Son of God. That was the Father speaking. I know you might be thinking, but the Bible says that it was written in lips and in bed. Yes. Brother Brown says, sometimes it was the Father speaking and sometimes it was the Son speaking. And that is why the people were getting confused. So the question I want to ask you, who is giving this note or this revelation to John? Who's asking John to write these things down? Is it the Son or is it the Father? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus. and he sent it unto his servant. Right? So as we look at the scripture just now, it has got nothing to do about the Son of God. This revelation, brothers and sisters, this understanding, this clarity could only come at the end time. And we are grateful for God to open up his word. As we know, if you read the book of Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says, and the book was sealed. What book was that? Many people think it's a mysterious book. Some people think it's a book in heaven. But brothers and sisters, and then you read, and he came down with a little book open. So you see one part, there's a book that is closed, and another part, there's a book that is open. What is it speaking about? It is speaking about the understanding of the Bible. People are preaching from the Bible, but they are not preaching with the understanding, because that scripture or that mystery was hid. And only at the opening of the seals does the Bible become a new book. It doesn't mean that the Bible was sealed. It does not mean there was a book that was closed. It means the understanding was not yet given. And that is why you find that right now there is more than one seal that's going on. There's a fourth seal, there's a sixth seal, and there's a seventh seal. The seventh seal goes right into eternity. The fourth seal is the church ages. This is where most of the lodges are in. They're under the anointing of the fourth seal. They cannot come under the anointing of the seventh seal, because the first four seals, you see beasts. After that, you don't see any beasts. You don't see any beasts. The fifth is souls under the altar. The sixth is the judgment seal. And the seventh, sisters, is the mystery seal, which is made up of the appearing and the coming of the Lord. Amen. And we do not know about the coming of the Lord, but we know of the appearing of the Lord. Amen. So, who is giving this to John? It is none other than God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who had at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by prophets. So how did God speak? He spoke to them by prophets. Amen. That's what God did. So in in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, John to the seven church ages, which are in Asia Minor, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. And the seven spirits which are before his throne. So when you're reading Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, we are seeing five main characters. One, we see John. Then we are seeing the seven church age messengers. Then we are seeing also the Almighty God. Then we are seeing also the seven ministering spirits that are before the throne. And then we are also seeing Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Those are the five main characters that you see in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness. I told you Jesus was the witness. Here the scriptures confirm it. He is just a witness to the Father's word. And the first begotten of the dead. He was the first one to be resurrected from the dead. Remember that without him, in the New Testament, the resurrection, the Old Testament believers could not come out. They were all in the grave. And remember that when at Calvary, you'd find when there was a great earthquake, the Bible says, and the graves were opened, and the dead saints came amongst us. They were risen from the dead. That's where you read it. The Bible speaks of Sarah and Abraham, where they become young people, and they're walking amongst them. So that's the Hebrew church, that's the Old Testament believers. Now, many people believe that the bride is made up of only the New Testament, but you also have an Old Testament bride. And the Old Testament bride are the ones that have gone before us. They are already in a glorified form, but they have not yet entered in. Okay, if you want to know more about that, you need to go back to some of the studies where we spoke about this, where we learned that they have had a body change, they're in a glorified condition, but they're not yet at the supper. You may say, but where are they? They are waiting for you and I. They cannot be completed without you and I. Amen. The faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us. Who washed us? Not the Son, the Father. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So, who's his Father? This is talking about the Son who has a Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. So, Revelation chapter 1, 4 to 6, we don't see the deity here. We don't see the deity of Jesus here. We see the clarity of the ministering spirit before the throne. We see the purpose of the ministering spirit. We see the five main characteristics. So the ministering spirit before the throne, they are going to greet the church. And the Bible says, and him which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, and Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. So we have three distinct entities here. The greeting of the church in Revelation 1:4. But after the greeting that stops, you find it suddenly introduces the 144, which is in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Now that seems to be out of context, but you know, God does not make any mistakes. So the real greeting stops in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. And so Revelation chapter 1 is 7 is not in order. This verse is seems to be separating the events of the greeting, those before the throne and so forth. So what is the mystery of Revelation chapter 1 verse 6? So what is the mystery of Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 1:7? What does it tell us? It tells us in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Right there you see the first, the last, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, that's the Almighty God. Amen. So the question is, when is he going to reveal himself? When is he going to explain who is behind the veil? This is going to be done after the church ages. Then the 144,000 are going to see him. That is why you see in Revelation 1 verse 7, you speak of the 144,000. Because remember that we spoke about this previously, that before he tells you more, he says, I want to tell you who I am. So after the church ages, then you have the 144,000 that's going to see him. But they cannot see him until we first see him as Son of Man. So the 144,000 will... Now, you know when you read, Brethren says, and whilst we're in the supper, Jesus leaves the supper room and goes down to the Jews. Now, if you have a different concept, you'll be thinking that the Son of God is going to leave the supper table. Now, what are you going to do in the supper room when your host is not there? Because the name of God is the Spirit. So who is that Jesus that leaves the supper table and goes down to meet the two witnesses? It's none other than Jehovah God. Just like how Jehovah God comes down in Revelation 10 to meet a prophet on the earth, there are two prophets waiting for him in Jerusalem that is going to become witnesses. Amen. So that is where he reveals his true identity. That is why he'll begin to start crying, because he begins to unveil himself. Remember, the Jews know already about Jehovah God. The Jews already know that there's only but one God. But they did not know that this one God came to live in a body. Now that is why Godhead is such a mystery. Godhead has been a mystery from Bible time. And now you see, even the Jews themselves did not recognize that he came in a body. Because this gospel has to go over to them as well. Even this gospel has to go over to those that have gone on before us, that are laying with souls under the altar. They've got to know who he is, this revelation. So my question to you is, who's the Alpha and the Omega? The Alpha is the Son of Man, Alpha. And the Omega is the second part of Son of Man, Omega, which is the ministry for today. So Son of Man, Alpha, is in the days of Jesus Christ on the shores of Galilee. And you find today, it's the Son of Man that visited us in our days when Brother Branham was on the earth. And so you find he comes, that God comes down in the form of a prophet 2,000 years ago, that God comes down in a prophet again between the seven church ages. That's how God is speaking to you and I. Amen. The seven church ages. So he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. So who is that? It is none other than the Almighty God. Who is this? This is not the Son of God. That's the deity of Jesus Christ. Because you'd find that it's all the qualities of God coming together, the qualities that was in the body of the Son, the qualities that was in the pillar of fire, is going to be presented to you and I in the last days. That is why you'd find that when they looked at Brother Branham, many people asked if he was Jesus. Some people were baptizing in his name. You may say, but why would they do that? Because the way God used him. Now remember, the way God was with Brother Branham was not the same way that God was with his Son. God was with his Son by blood. God was with his Son by species. It was a God species. God was with his Son by incarnation. Amen? So the DNA of God was not in Brother Branham, but God used his voice. Amen? God used his voice. God used his vocal cords. God used his hand. God used his leg. That is why Brother Branham said that he is the minister, that the ministry of Jesus Christ is being reproduced one more time in human flesh. So when the people saw Brother Branham, they looked at it as Jesus Christ. Because that ministry was reproduced. Because nobody can turn their back to the congregation and say, your name is so and so. It's impossible. That is when you find that the word became flesh. It's when you turn his back and the people said, and he preached us, who is this Melchizedek now? Who is this Melchizedek now? Amen? So the deity of Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. Because that was the Son of Man Alpha. So who is the Son of Man Omega? The deity of Jesus Christ is the days of Brother Branham. All the qualities of God, all the qualities of Christ, all the qualities of the pillar of fire, all those biological qualities is coming back and is influencing this man, Brother Branham. And so when you look at him, you see the ministry of the Son of God being reproduced. They could not separate Brother Branham from Jesus Christ. Apart from Brother Branham being born of Charles Branham, the ministry is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the body of a man. We're talking about the ministry. Because when you look at the ministry, when Nicodemus looked at Jesus, he says, no man can do this unless God is with you. Amen? So deity picks up the qualities of God and the man and brings it back in our day as Omega. So all the qualities that was in the pillar of fire, all the qualities that was in the body, now you see it operating in this life of Brother Branham. So he becomes the first crop of the bright tree. If you read the restoration of the bright tree, he becomes the first fruit. So can you imagine that Jehovah God talking to a man born of sin, says, won't you walk with me? In that Colorado storm, he says, is that you, Jehovah? Don't you want to walk with me? That is why you find that when he was young, the Bible says, the messenger says, he says that the voice said, don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body, for I have a work for you. Why? Because of the ministry that he's going to have, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus, was in the isle that is called the Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is John's testimony to tell you where he was, to tell you why he was there. Now this John is telling you what happened while he was there. Well, because whilst he was on the Isle of Patmos, we know that, why did they put John on the Isle of Patmos? Because they did not want the revelation to go out. They were trying to kill the revelation. That is why they isolated John. They put him onto an island where there were scorpions and snakes and so forth, hoping that that revelation will dry up. And that's exactly what's happening today, is that the whole world is against this revelation of the doctrine of Christ. And they will do anything they can to stop this revelation. Because that is the spirit that started in Bible times, from the days of Genesis right until today, is that they're trying to silence the voice of God that is speaking to the elected of God. And so you'd find they try to burn, they tried to boil John, they tried to kill John, but because John's ministry was not yet over, John was able to survive. And John says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So when was the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day started in 1946. Many people say, well, the Lord's Day is going to come. The Lord's Day started in 1946 because that's when God came down. When was the first time the pillar of fire came down? At the birth of this prophet. Because for 2,000 years, the pillar of fire was not seen. It was seen over this baby. 1933, it was seen on the river where thousands heard and saw that light come down. And 1946, you'd find the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham that he must go 7 times around the world. And so the Lord's Day starts in 1946 there. And so you'd find that, how does it start off? You find God's power was seen upon the earth. Never was the power of God ever seen on the earth greater than the time of Brother Branham. Because God was revealing himself in great power under the first and second pull. So that is why when you read Luke 21, verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud and power and great glory. So God first comes in great power, the first and second pull. 1963, you see him coming in a cloud, and then you find great glory. So we've seen him operating the first and second pull, which started in 1946, and we know that the cloud was in 1963. And the Bible says in Luke 21, 29, and he spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree and all other trees. Why the fig tree? The fig tree speaks of Israel. Israel became a nation in 1946. The fig tree tells us that the summer is nigh and the summer is the harvest. So in 1946, whilst Israel was becoming a nation, whilst Naomi was and Ruth was returning to the homeland, there was a prophet on the land. God was working with the Gentiles. Amen. And the Son of Man, Omega, ministry begins in 1946. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. So when did John see first see the Son of Man? 1946. When was the first time the church ever got a glimpse of the Son of Man? 1946. When did John see him? When he was a judge. So when John saw him, was he a judge? Or was he a prophet? John saw him as a judge. Because the Bible says he was clothed down to the foot, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. So when John saw him, 1946, he was coming to bring judgment. She said, but judgment? Yes. He was judging the Catholic Church. He was judging the lukewarm church. He was judging the denominational church. He was judging the system. Amen. So that makes him the judge, not the lamb. Now he's not coming in the form of the judge. Right? The lamb's not coming in the form of the judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. So when did the hidden things of darkness be revealed? Was it not in our day? Was it not when the Son of Man, Omega, was on the earth? Was it not then that he was able to tell the secrets of the heart? So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, was fulfilled or started in 1946. Amen. Therefore, the Bible says, judge nothing before 1946 until the Lord appears. That is the Son of Man, Omega. Don't judge me. Judge nothing before 1946. Right now, we are able to know what's right and wrong. Now we know what the elect has to stand for. Now we know what is the separation. What separates the bride from the nominal message church is the doctrine of Christ. See, anybody can look clean. Anybody can have long hair, clean face, long dresses, and so forth. Don't watch television, don't do this and don't do that. Foolish virgins can do that. But it's the revelation that causes the separation. It was the revelation that separated Cain from Abel. And that's why Cain killed his brother. Because Abel had the revelation, it was blood. Abel was the firstborn, and revelation comes to the firstborn. And Cain did not want to go to Abel to get the revelation. So is it today you would find that people do not want to come to those that have the revelation of the Godhead. But they hate those that have the revelation of the Godhead. They have a certain amount of animosity. You say, but why? Because that is the spirit that's in the last day. So the Alpha and the Omega has got nothing to do with the Son of God. This is all about God. The Alpha and the Omega means that God became Alpha in the biological body of His Son 2,000 years ago and brought forth a ministry. So the Omega One, Omega Ministry, is speaking of the one that was in the biological body, now comes to find a man by the name of William Marion Branham in 1946 now, and begins to start using that body. That becomes the Son of Man, Omega. So the Son of, so Alpha and Omega is the deity of Jesus Christ represented in our midst. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. So he come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation. That word coming means revelation, apocalypse. The revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ is the revealing or the unveiling of God. That's the mystery of God. In Luke chapter 17, verse 30, the Bible says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Revealed to be made known, to be clear, to be explained. When is this revelation of the Lord Jesus to happen? 1946. Onwards. Because before that, we did not know about it. Everybody thought it was about the Son. But from 1946, we see there's somebody else on the earth. And that is why Brother Brown comes and preaches the message, it is the rising of the Sun. Because why is the rising of the Sun? The stars are now going away. The church ages are going away. Now the dawning of a new day. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, who shall conform unto you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. So another way of saying Luke 17:30 is the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the day of the Lord Jesus Christ is 1946. The day of the Lord is 1946. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Be confident of the very thing that he which had begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is when? Is when we become adopted. Our redemption is not yet finished, brothers and sisters. When we meet Him in the air, our redemption is finished when our body change takes place. Amen. And therefore, you'd find we will meet the Son. We will meet the Son in the air. So until the day of Jesus Christ, we have the day, Son of Man. So the day of Jesus Christ is when we are adopted. When did the day of the Lord start? The day of Jesus Christ is when we become adopted. So the day of Jesus Christ will come in. We are right now in the day of Son of Man. So the day of Jesus Christ is the day of the Son of Man, the Omega part. So the Son of Man, Omega part, has got many days. Okay, the Lord's day, Satan's day, and so forth. Right? But that runs right into the second seal. Philippians 1 verse 10, that you may prove that things that are in excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So the day of Jesus Christ is the day you become fully justified. So the first day of Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord, are all within the same span, all within the time frame of 1946. So when did you may ask me, but when does the Lord's day end? When you read 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are in therein shall be burnt up. So the day of the Lord that started in 1946 goes all the way through, but has interruption, and will end when the elements of the earth are burnt up. In the day of the Lord, that's when the judge appears. Amen. So Revelation 10:1 appears, and that brought us grace. So when you look at Revelation 10:1, when the Revelation 10:1, there was a message of grace that comes to us. That was the Lord's day. And that is why we can escape that, because we have a secret category of the bride. There's a message of grace that comes to the elected. So you have many days within the Lord's day. within the Lord's day, you still have the day of man. The day of man is when they lean onto their own understanding. You have the day of Jesus Christ. That's when he finishes the work for the bride. And that's the way of the same time. Amen. Let's look at a few more scriptures in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6. Isaiah 45, verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. So the Bible says, I am the Lord and there is none else. Can you tell Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the apart? The Son of God just becomes a witness. When you read Isaiah 45, verse 6, there is nobody else. So you might say, but what is the role of the Son of God? We'll look at that more in one of the services. But we've covered it already. God wants to become tangible by faith in the body. Because without the body, without the Son, you cannot hear God, you cannot know God, you cannot feel God, you cannot touch God. All of God's qualities are faith. But yet, without the being, the Son is the God. So when you read the church's book and you see the deity of Jesus, just remember, the Bible says, besides me, there is none else. And may the Lord bless you, undertake for you in a special way. You can go home and read Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus say the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer of hosts, I am the first and the last, there is none. Besides me, there is no God. That's tied up to the book of Revelation. Isaiah 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, Israel, my call. I am thee, I am the first, I am the last. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Word wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning. I am the Lord, the first, the last, I am thee. So you see, the Old Testament speaks of the first and the last. The Revelation speaks of the first and the last. It's none other than Jehovah God. This has got nothing to do with the Son of God. Amen. So the first and the last has got nothing to do with the Son of God. This is all going to be Jehovah God. May God richly bless you, undertake for you in a special way, and give you great grace. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you once again for this privilege and opportunity that you have. We pray for the believers, those that are celebrating the birthdays and wedding anniversaries. May you bless each one of them. Undertake for the bride of Jesus Christ, wherever she is. Be her portion, be her guide, and give her great grace, we pray. For this we ask this in the name of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, thank you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And everyone said, Amen.